Let's go out to Columbus. What is going on with Ryan Johansson, the guy who covers him better than anyone? Aaron Portsline joins us once again, who has seen everything in Columbus over his time. Aaron, I'm not sure you've seen this, though. A star young player who has, at times it seems, maybe not been the most committed, gets himself in the doghouse in a healthy scratch last night.
Yep. Actually, we have seen this, and we've seen it with Ryan Johansson specifically. Not at this stage of his career, certainly, but he was scratched. He's been scratched before. Todd Richards scratched him a few times. He's been benched by John Tortorella, and if you recall, just a few years ago, he was scratched from a minor league game in Springfield, and their minor league affiliate was in Springfield.
That's right.
This has been ongoing. I think it's easy to look at the names and see Tortorella, you know the reputation, and see Johansson, you probably know his as well, and think that this is some sort of a personal tete-a-tete. I don't think it's that. I think almost any NHL coach would have reached the same point that John Tortorella reached in scratching him against Phoenix. Just he's performed below the bar, below not just expectations, but below what is acceptable at the NHL level. Something had to give.
Is this just a lack of commitment in the off season from Johansson to be in playing shape? Is he lazy, Aaron? What are you seeing?
Well, first of all, there's his personality. He's not a bad kid. He's actually a good kid. But there's a laid-backness to him. A Joe Thornton-like, chill dude. I think there's a bigger issue here. He had heart issues over the summer. An accelerated heartbeat, ended up in the hospital at least once. It reached the point where Columbus flew him to Columbus to be looked at by their doctors. Now, they didn't find anything. Sometimes these things happen. But he acknowledged yesterday, and we're writing it for tomorrow's paper, that it freaked him out a little bit. And some will read it as an excuse. That's fine. I see that. But it affected his off-season preparedness. He admitted he didn't go as hard this offseason as he did in the previous season, as he should have. And I think he's trying to catch up midseason. And that history shows us that never looks good for any player. And you've seen it, the back-to-back games, the 3 and 4 nights, late in games, he's just not able to keep the pace.
Now, because of the heart scare, I guess you can understand it for a young kid that you're fearful of it, so maybe you don't want to push. So I'm assuming that the Blue Jackets doctors and him must have had ongoing conversations with the coaching staff to say, okay, this is where he's at. You know, maybe we'll try to ramp up his things. Or was he left on his own just to train by himself?
No, these guys are such huge investments, these players now. I mean, they don't have domain over the players in the off season. The PA would sound alarms if they made them do things or kept too close an eye on them. You and I both know they keep an eye on these guys. They check in with them frequently. The players are left to their own devices, if you will. They are free to do what they want, but these clubs put pressure on them. They stay in touch with them. If this happens, if the news gets back to the Blue Jackets that Johansson's in the hospital with the heart issue, you better believe they are on top of him more than any other player in the room, not just because he's the best talent, but that's a truly scary situation.
Last night, the Blue Jackets score 7 goals without him. Now, obviously, I'm not going to sit here and say they're a better team without Ryan Johansson, Aaron, but if you mentioned right. It's been an ongoing issue and now the health issues are behind him, like, you can't just give up on 6'3" centermen who have already scored 60 goals you know, in the first 3 years of their career. So, you know, is Tortorella just hoping to put down some tough love? You know, do you see this relationship, one that can easily still be repaired? Where do they go from here?
I think it can very easily be repaired. I don't even know that it needs to be repaired necessarily. I don't think this is butting his heads with Tortorella saying, I'm just not going to do it your way. I think this player is in a bind. I think Tortorella recognizes that he's in a bind. And if you've read their words or listened to their words yesterday, I thought Johansson handled it very well. I thought he handled it as you would, if you're the Blue Jackets, would hope that he would. I think he articulated himself very well, that he realizes it's not personal. This has happened to other guys in the room. And it's going to be a tough road for him if he doesn't handle this like a professional. If he's going to handle it like a professional, my sense, I don't know this sense, is he goes back in the lineup tomorrow against Philadelphia. And given the way his season has gone, high, very big highs, very deep lows, I think he'll play very well against the Flyers on Saturday.
Aaron Portsline joins us from Columbus talking about Ryan Johansson. Scotty Hartnell was benched earlier this year. He bounced back the next time. Tortorella, it's not like he's picking on anyone. He's trying to send a message. Is this something the organization needs in your eyes, Aaron? Do they need a little bit of a tough love? Because I think most people around the league are surprised that Columbus is the worst team in the NHL.
Well, that's the thing. It's funny to me. On October 20th, first of all, the Blue Jackets made a tour. They made it 12 days into the season before they fired their coach.
Yeah.
12 days, right? And on the 20th, the thought was they need accountability. This organization needs accountability. Now you bring in this coach, and look, I mean, he preaches that more than any other coach I can recall. You know that's what's coming. You know what you're getting. And I'm sorry, if you're this close to the salary cap, if you have this high expectations for your team and so many players on the roster who are established veterans and you're still at the bottom of the standings, yes. Anything that happens, there's nothing a coach does in terms of out of accountability that is beyond the pale right now. They need this. If it's not coming from within the room, it has to come from the coach. I think that's how Tortorella sees it.
Aaron, the Blue Jackets, they're not out of the playoff race. I guess they could have a monumental second half like they did last year and maybe get back in it. But with every passing day, it looks harder and harder. Their blue line right now is the big concern in Columbus. How do you see them going about improving it?
Well, they've tried, and they continue to try. You'd have to assume that if Johansson gets moved, that there's a big-time defenseman coming back. But for me, that plugs one leak and opens another.
Yeah.
The defense has actually been okay. Nobody was good on this team the first 2 weeks of the season. They look particularly awful in their own zone. Right now, Jack Johnson and David Savard are out. That's their top pair.
Mm-hmm.
They played without them last night. That's not easy. That's going to get messy if those guys are still out and Bobrovsky is out. This is a tough stretch for them. I think this defense, if you look around the league, there are teams that have, I think, defense groups that are comparable to Columbus, and they managed to be competitive. I don't think this defense is so bad that Columbus simply can't win with it. I don't know if they're a team that can win in the playoffs with this group. It has to get better. They know that it has to get better, but it's a really tough thing to fix right now, especially as locked up as this league is with trades.
What's the prognosis on the injury front for their top two defenders?
Day-to-day is what they're saying for each of them. My sense is that Savard is further away than Jack Johnson is. Savard has a lower body injury. Jack Johnson has an upper body injury. Johnson was sort of questionable for last night. That lends me to believe that he's closer to returning than Savard is.
Jack Johnson is an interesting one, Aaron, because a lot of the analytics guys can't stand Jack Johnson, and we've seen analytics. They also loved Alexander Semin, so I think we got to take everything.
Say that.
Yeah, everything with a grain of salt. But you watch Johnson every night. There's been four different coaches, and they all play him. So either they've got nobody else, or Johnson's maybe not as bad as the analytics suggest. What is it?
The analytics folks would tell you he's the worst defenseman to maybe ever put skates on. He's not that. I know he's not that. I like your point, and I've made your point that every coach that's been here with Jack Johnson plays him 28 minutes a night. They see something. He is a curious player. I will say this. He has cut down on the just brainless, mind-cramp type passes that you would not expect from a veteran player. He made a lot of those. Even last year, he's cut way down on those. He's a dependable player, competitive player, but I think he is a limited player in terms of his hockey sense. But he's not the worst. He's not the worst defenseman in the league. Analytics show you a lot. I think they can also mislead you. And I think Jack is one instance where it is misleading what type of player he is.
David Clarkson scored his first goal of the season. When they acquired Clarkson for Nathan Horton, I don't think anyone is he got a real big overpaid contract, and you know Edmonton fans are counting their lucky stars that he didn't come here. And he's a guy who just that really seemed to mess with him mentally. Like he tried to live up to it, and you know some guys just can't live up to it. I don't think it's not a fact that he doesn't care. I think he probably worries too much about the finances of his contract. His overall game, Aaron, is this a guy who can be a contributing third line winger? You know, where do you see him, you know, regardless of the contract, where do you see him as a good fit on the team?
I think he is barely a fourth line guy.
Wow, okay.
He moves okay. He moves better than people in Toronto would have you believe. I just don't know what he is as a player, and I think he's lost himself as a player. I think he feels like you say it. Can't get out of this track where he may be holding himself against the contract more than people in Columbus are now. He's left Toronto behind. People have fairly low expectations for him in Columbus. He's frequently hurt, limited player, scored a beautiful goal last night, had some actually pretty good shifts last night, the best I've seen him play in Columbus. So maybe it's coming. Maybe he can contribute as a fourth line guy. They've tried to really dumb this down to the point where it was in New Jersey, where Clarkson's expected to be a checking line or a fourth line type guy, and anything he gives you is a bonus. Now, in Jersey, he picked up a lot of his points playing on the power play with his great players. In Columbus, he's not getting that, so the numbers aren't going to be there. But if they get anything from him, anything even serviceable from him, it's an improvement over what they would have had from Nathan Horton, whose career, by all accounts, is over.
Yeah, for sure it is. So they've got some interesting contracts in Columbus. They got some guys who, like, when you look at it and say, if Columbus doesn't improve, and they're currently 9 points out of the playoffs, and when we look at history, you know, it's virtually impossible for a team to overcome that many teams and 9 points to make it to the playoffs. Right. And when they've got a lot of their guys signed. Like, Rene Bourque's a UFA at the end of the season, and then Boone Jenner's and William Carlson are RFAs. Like, is there anybody that you see outside of Johansson, because they're going to be, I think, very hesitant to trade him, that would have some trade value for the Blue Jackets?
Well, I think there's a lot of guys that have trade value, and I think if the team continues to be not good, not competitive, I think some of these guys with no trades might be willing to move. I mean, I look at Scott Hardin, who continues to produce. I think he likes it in Columbus, but I think he's at a point in his career. That's why he agreed to come to Columbus, was he felt he was coming to a place that was going to win. If this is two seasons out of the playoffs for him, you know, you may wonder if maybe the mood changes. You know, what can they get for some of these other guys? Cam Atkinson's a guy who, God, he has so many scoring chances. He looks like a 30-goal scorer who never quite gets to 30. He's always around 20. That guy's got some worth. I don't think Tortorella would like to see him moved. I think he really likes him. They've got some pieces here. I think moods and outlook can change if players see this as a place that, A, is not winning, but B, is going to turn things over to get where they want to go. I don't know if some of these veteran players would want to stick around for that.
Well, Aaron, it's an interesting season in Columbus. How's Tortorella been overall?
For us, he's been fantastic in terms of quotability, in terms of engagement. He's been great. I mean, it's funny, everybody around the team, everyone's game has gotten a little bit sharper. Sports writers are putting on a little suit and tie before the morning skate because everyone's got to bring their game. He's been good. I mean, there's been clashes, nothing like in New York, but there's been some back and forth sort of snippiness. That's fine. I think people appreciate the passion, and he articulates extremely well.
Well, it's going to be interesting to watch the Blue Jackets and what management will do. And Ryan Johansson, I agree with you. You can't play catch-up physically during the season. I'm not going to say it's a lost season for him, but basically, you know, Ryan Johansson, for him to show the organization he's committed, is going to have to come in the offseason.
Absolutely. No, there's no question. And you know what? This team has a history. They did it last year, most recently, being out of it and then making a huge push at the end. People misread what that push at the end means. It messes up the draft pick, and then here you go again. I mean, last year they were 15-1-1 at the end, and everybody bought that as proof that they were ready to take off. I'm not saying I was above it. I looked at this team on paper at the start of the season and said, there's no reason this team can't challenge for the Metropolitan Division title. There's no reason they can't finally win a playoff series, and yet they can't get out of their almost they can't get away from their history as a team that's just not meant to win.
Yeah, Aaron, I was a guy who also had Columbus making the playoffs this year. I didn't have them winning the division, but I had them making the playoffs. And for me in the East, they've
everybody
been
everybody did.
Most people I saw, I agree. They've been definitely a pretty big disappointment. Always great to talk to you. Merry Christmas to you and yours, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you. Did you say it was snowing in Edmonton today?
Of course it is, buddy. Finally, it's near Christmas. We need a little white stuff.
Man, I'm looking at palm trees and sun and here in beautiful Glendale.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
I can send you a postcard.
But you know what?
Like, you want a postcard?
You can't go skidooing, though. See? Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, if you can't skidoo, it's just not as fun. But you send me a postcard. Just don't have yourself in any sort of thong or anything, okay?
Well, right. I'll be behind the camera.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate your time.
See you later.
They're important.